Rosh Hey Tammuz, Sunday the 31st of July. I'm Moshe Levy, staying in this world. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored Lichvod Simchas HaPar Mitzvah of Sully Grunfeld.
Morning. One of my favorite times of the week. Now, my favorite is when I walk to shul with my son. He's 10 years old, and we discuss questions on the parsha, any upcoming Yomim Tovim. And he said to me yesterday, "No, Abba, ask me some questions on the parasha." I said to him, "We know, in the previous week's parasha, Balak hires Bilam to curse the Jewish people. He tries 7 times, and he's not able to do it. He then says, we got to try something. It just shows you it wasn't that he was getting paid to do it." Rashi says, Hashem tells Balak, "If you're getting paid, then okay. It wasn't about the money. He tried. He should have said, Gamarti, I did my job. I tried. It didn't work." He has to find a way. He knows Hashem hates zinut. Hashem hates promiscuity. Sends out the Benot Moav. They entice the Jewish people. One of the heads of the Shvatim, Zimri ben Salur, Shulmiya ben Sori Shaddai, he goes into the tent with one of the Midianite princesses. Pinchas goes into the tent, takes the spear, kills both of them. V'tatzer ha-magefa, the plague stops. 24,000 people die in the plague. I asked my son, I said, "I don't understand. How could Pinchas do such a thing? Where's the Bedin? Where's the Sanhedrin? Somebody decides this is wrong, they get up there and they take a knife and they kill the two people? Forget about the fact that he was ahead of a Shevet. What he was doing was 1,000,000% wrong. There's some type of judicial system. You can't go around doing whatever you want. How can Pinchas just get up there, go into the tent, take the spear and kill them both, and then walk around showing everybody and all the nisim that happened? How can he, halachically, how could he do such a thing?" What would you say? Kanaim pogimbo. There's a halacha. I said to my son, and this is what my son said. He said, "Oh, he was doing it for Hashem." I said, "There was a story in Yerushalayim, last year, 2 years ago, I forget already, that there was a guy, there was a pride parade in Yerushalayim. This guy said, 'Terrible, what's going on over here?' Takes a knife, he starts killing people. Killed a 17-year-old girl, stabbed a bunch of people. I don't know of any Rabbanim that said, 'Baruch Hashem, Pinchas, kol hakavod.' What did all the Rabbanim say? Sugar deserves to be locked up." And he was, rightfully so. Someone told me that his brother last week, there's another pride either happening or coming, and his brother got arrested, and they said, "Well, what are you doing?" They said, "We understand you were in contact with your brother." So he said, I think it's terrible. He said, "We have recordings." His brother, who was in jail, said to the brother outside, "You should go and do what I did." He said, "I'm a bar plukta." Right? So they said, "You see, you're part of the same plukta." He says, "No, bar plukta, look up the Gemara, it means the opposite. I'm against what you did." It was a whole thing in Israel. With this guy, did you're not going to get up and say, "Baruch Hashem, this guy did the right thing." So even if you're doing, no, wouldn't people say this guy's a kanoi? You can't just do such a thing. As Makorepo, how could Pinchas do such a thing? How is it Hashem gives him the biggest accolade and praise? Bekanot kinati, biriti shalom. What's going on over here? Furthermore, as we're in the 3 weeks, I thought we would discuss an idea how to, Be'ezat Hashem, bring the third Beit HaMikdash. We're discussing siyumim and getting out of having to not eat, right? To not have to only eat dairy. I think women should have to eat meat during the 9 days. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. If you look at the past few weeks' parashiyot, I think there's a common theme. I didn't see anybody say this, and I know a few years ago, I stood up over here and I discussed the common theme throughout the parashiyot, how you see the meragelim saw what they wanted to see, and you see the same concept by Korach. He saw, his eyes led him astray to some extent. You see the same thing by Bilam, Shetum Ha'ayin. The B'nai Saskar explains how every month corresponds to one of the Shvatim. This month of Tammuz corresponds to Reuven. Ra'ah Hashem Ba'oni. It's all about seeing. And we gave a whole shiur about seeing what we want to see. And I think even a few years before that, I discussed, again, I didn't see anyone say this, a common theme throughout the parashiyot, the koach ha-dibur. Right? Miriam speaks bad against Moshe Rabbeinu, Miraglim speak bad against Eretz Yisrael. Korach speaks bad and causes machloket. Moshe, instead of talking to the rock, using his mouth, he hits the rock. Bilam is trying to use his koach ha-dibur to curse the Jewish people. This week's parasha, we say about nidarim, about promises, ki chol ha-yotzeh mipiv yaseh. And we discussed 4 or 5 years ago the common theme throughout the parashiyot, but I thought of another one. Again, I didn't see anyone say this, so feel free to disagree. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says, "Hakinah va'ta'ava va'kavod motzin et ha'adam min ha'olam." Jealousy, desire, and respect motzin et ha'adam min ha'olam. The first Tisha B'Av says the Mishnah in Ta'anit in Jewish history. The spies come back and they give a false report. And the Mefarshim discuss what they say wrong. How is it false? They went, they saw, we saw giants. They went, they said, we don't think we can win a war against giants. This is what we saw. And the Mefarshim explain, why did they see what they wanted to see? Why did they see all the faults? Because they were worried about their kavod. Right now, in the desert, we have pretty prestigious positions. Depending on which opinion you go by, Sadeh, Hamishim, whatever it might have been. When it lists the order of the people that are sent out, Yehoshua ben Nun is listed as number 5 of the 12. And the Ramban asks, well, what's this random order? He says, it must be, it's an order of Hashivut. Yehoshua ben Nun, number 5. These were very important people. Tzadikim, Kulam Anashim. And I believe it's the Arizal that says, what were they worried about? They're worried about if they leave the desert, move into Eretz Israel, once there's a Brexit, there's a new government. Everything changes. Whatever job you might have had, there's a new leader, there's a whole new system. And the spies were worried, if we go into Eretz Israel, we're going to lose our prestigious positions. Their kavod led them and all the Jewish people to die in that whole door, to die in the desert. Why? Because they're worried about kavod. They're worried about their respect. They might lose their jobs. They might lose their chashivut. The next parasha, parashat Korach. We have to understand how great Korach was. He had Ruach HaKodesh. The book of Mesilat Yesharim. Right? You go through all the different chapters, Pishpush and Mishmush and Zrizut, and what's the pinnacle? What's the highest level you could possibly reach? Ruach HaKodesh. Korach, perfect. The Mesilat Yesharim, check, done. Perfect in all his midot. He has Ruach HaKodesh. He sees that Shmuel Navi is going to come out of him. And the Mefarshim ask, and they use the terminology of stupidity. Mara al-Shtutze. What happened? Such a holy guy? What happened? He wanted the kavod. I want to be in charge. Why should he be in charge? Why is he the Nasi? Why is he the Kohen Gadol? What about me? The kavod, the desire for respect, took me out of the world. You look at parasha we read a couple weeks ago. Balak wants to hire Bilam. What does he tell Bilam? What am I going to give you? Chabed achabetcha. I'm going to give you a lot of respect. It wasn't about the money to some extent. Obviously, money gives you respect. Bilam seems like he was a wealthy guy. But what happens? He wants the kavod. Chabed achabetcha. Everyone will say, realize how important you are. And Balak's in. Excuse me, Bilam's in. He's happy to do it. If we know a little bit of our Navi, you have Shlomo HaMelech and his son. Who's the son of Shlomo HaMelech? Anybody? Chavam. I was giving a shiur one time and I was asking them simple questions in Navi. And the people had no idea. So I said to them, there was once a guy who went to the Rosh Yeshiva. Top Yeshiva. And he said, I understand, we learn Musar, and we learn Halacha, and we learn Gemara all day. How come we learn Navi? It's the Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. And he gave him a nice rabbi answer. He said, this is a non-profit organization. You have the son of Shlomo HaMelech, Rechavam. And if we know our history, the Jewish people come over to Rechavam and they say, look, you're a great guy. You're not your father, you're not your grandfather. David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, the taxes, they're killing us. It must have been similar to England taxes. Yeah, we're going crazy over here. We can't. You got to lower the taxes. Rechavam says, all right, let me speak to my advisors. He calls in the elders. And what do they say to him? They got a good point. You're a great guy. You're not your dad. You gotta lower taxes. He calls in his young friends. What do you think? Who do they think they are telling you to lower taxes? You're the king. You're in charge. You show them who's boss. You raise taxes. What happens? There's a divide. The people, they rebel. There's a divide amongst the Jewish people. You have the 10 tribes and only Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin. And the 10 tribes, again, they don't want to go against Hashem. They want to just not have to be choked by taxes. So they want to hire who's going to be the new king. They go to the Gadol Ador, the biggest tzaddik of the generation. Who's the biggest tzaddik? Yeravam ben Nevat. And they say, we want you to be the king, and he's the king. But there's a problem. When you have Aliyah L'Regel, you go up to the Beit HaMikdash. Everybody has to stand except for one person. Who's the one person?
King.
Melech Yehuda. The king of the Davidic dynasty. And Yeravam ben Nevat's worried. Everyone's going to be standing, including myself. And Rechavam's going to be sitting. It's bushot. It's embarrassing to my kavod. What are they going to say about me? So he puts guards. No one's allowed to go. And they say, we want to worship. We want to go. We want to do our thing. So he puts up these massive statues. Egel. And Hashem comes to Yeravam ben Nevat and he says, Do teshuva. Ani v'ata u'ben Yishai. Me, you, and David HaMelech, we're going to walk together in Gan Eden. And what does Yeravam ben Nevat say? Mi barosh. Who's going to be first? Hashem already told him who's going to be first. He wasn't listening. Ani v'ata u'ben Yishai. Me, you, and then David. You're first. But he has to have the kavod. He has to hear it. He wants it more. What does he say? Who's first? Hashem changes it. You lost your chance. Not that you're going to be out, but David HaMelech will be first because you're looking for kavod. Yeravam ben Nevat says, forget it. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin when discusses Mashiach, the last peret, En lo chelek olam haba. The guy is burning for all eternity. Choti u'machti tarabim. Why? What led him astray? What was the problem? Kavod. You have now during the 3 weeks, many people know the Gemara of Kamsan Bar Kamsan. Amachava Yerushalayim. Think about it for a second. This guy, for whatever reason, they weren't on good terms. Maybe the guy was a Russia, but whatever it was. He gets invited to the wedding. He comes to the wedding. He's excited. The host comes to him and says, look, there's obviously been a mistake. Please leave. Nobody should ever know. But if someone comes to you by a wedding, they're making a simcha, and they say to you, please leave. What are you going to do? You're going to leave. You're by the table. You say, excuse me, I need the toilet. Take out your cell phone. Whatever it might be, you're going to go. What does he say? I'll pay for my meal. No. I'll pay for half the wedding. I'll pay for the whole wedding. Is that a normal reaction? What's he worried about? What's he worried about? He's worried about his kavod. And what does he do? Again, you ask any psychiatrist, psychologist, the guy is ridiculously insane. He gets on a boat, travels all the way to Rome, somehow gets a meeting with the Caesar, and tells him, the Jewish people are rebelling against you. Knowing that the king is going to go, the Caesar is going to go, and kill all the women, children, men, millions of people. Because you got embarrassed, because you didn't have your kavod, and you're willing to spend all that money, sacrifice everything, and have millions of people get killed? What was the problem? Kavod. Look, they disrespected me. So often when there's arguments, whether it's a spouse, whether it's parents, whether it's children, whether it's a business partner, a neighbor, person in shul, whoever it might be. What's the root of the problem? How could they do this to me? I put in so much time and effort. I started it. I thought of it. I. The Mefarshim explain, what do you have to do? You have to take yourself out of the equation. And ask yourself, is this a normal reaction? I'm sure if you would have went to Bar Kamsa and said, this guy got kicked out of a wedding, very embarrassing. He went to the Caesar and said, you should kill all the Jews. What would Bar Kamsa probably say? That's preposterous. That's ridiculous. That's crazy. But when it's you, you're too blinded. You can't see it. You can't see it. The most obvious thing to everybody else. You can't see it and you have this ultimate sin'ah and hatred that you'll do the craziest things. The stupidest things, as it says about Korah. You'll lead the downfall and everyone sees it and says, what are you doing? You're blind. And you convince yourself, It's the principle of the matter. It's not about the money. It's not about this. It's not about the kavod. It's the principle of the matter. I can't get away with such a thing. I was in Hasmonean girls. I was trying to explain to them this concept. So you have to speak the language of the people. I said to one of the girls, I said, imagine someone takes a picture of you and it's not very flattering. And what do? She said, I'm going to tell you, you got to erase it. And then she does the biggest avera possible. What's the biggest avera possible? Oh, she posts it online. Oy, baboy. Chas v'shalom. And now everyone's teasing you. And everyone's making fun of you and you get these terrible nicknames. And you come over to your friend and you say, I can't believe she did this to me. She stabbed me in the back. Everybody told her to erase it. I'm never speaking to her again for the rest of my life. I said to this girl, is that a normal reaction? She said, I could hear you. I said, now let's just change the situation a little bit. Your friend comes to you and says, I can't believe it. This person took a picture of me, posted it online. Everyone's teasing, making fun of me. I'm never speaking to her again. I don't care if we were friends for 20 years. What would you say to your friend? She said, I would tell her, that's crazy. Don't be ridiculous. I said, what's the difference? 10 seconds ago, you thought it was a normal reaction. It's the only difference. When it's you, you're blinded and you convinced yourself this is a normal reaction. Of course I'm going to make my own shul. Of course I'm going to make my own business. Of course I'm never going to go to their simcha again. How dare they only invite me to some of it and to this, whatever it might be. And it causes sinah. It causes hatred. People can hate their siblings. People can hate their parents, their kids, their mechutanim. There's hate, sinah. I was in someone's office this week. Not so simple. Major shalom bias issues. And he said to me, I hate my wife. He says, I hate her. I hate my wife. And I said to him, you don't hate your wife. He says, no, I'm telling you, Rabbi, I'm going crazy. I hate her. I said, you hate the way she acts when she's not in control. You love your wife. She's a great mom and a great wife. But when she's not in control, you don't hate her. We get so blinded. What we see, I hate. I can't. This guy in shul, and he thinks, I hate. You got to take yourself out of the equation. How could Pinchas get up there and kill two people? Pinchas was 100,000,000% L'shem Shammai. You look at the first case of what we would probably call Kana'ut, zealotry. Where's the first case of Kana'is? Shimon and Levi. Dinah gets raped. Yeah. And what happens? They go and they kill a whole city. Did they do the right thing? Yes or no?
Yes.
So the Sephorno explains their reaction was the right reaction. The whole town deserved to be wiped out. They let such a thing happen and they didn't try and arrest Shechem and Hamor. They didn't do anything. So why is Yaakov Avinu so upset at them? Part of it's political. Everyone's going to come and fight us. But they shouldn't have been the ones to do the reaction. Why? If you look at the psukim, constantly you see, Vayomru akazonaya aset achotenu. It wasn't just about this is the wrong thing. How could they do it to our sister? Over and over you see the word achotenu, achotenu, achotenu. Doesn't say just Bat Yisrael. Doesn't say such a thing is wrong. Our sister, when it's our sister, you can't be the one to react. Because you're a little bit nogea bedavar. You're a little bit nogea bedavar. And therefore, even though the reaction was the right one, you can't be the one to do it.
So we're talking about something.
100%. But we still see that Yaakov Avinu gives it to him on his deathbed. Shimon v'Levi, Achim, Klei Hamas, Bechorotehem, he gives it to them. He's not happy with the way they reacted. And if you want to take it deeper, you have Pinchas who comes from Levi, who does it right. He works on himself, does it L'Shem Shamayim. And where does Shulumiel ben Tzvishla, where does Zimri come from? Shimon. So you had the two people that are Kanoim, and once again they're Kanoim. A few hundred years later, but one does it the right way, one does it the wrong way. They're both Kanoim. I'm sure Shalumiya ben Tzuri Shaddai, Zimri ben Salu, was convinced he's being Kanoi, he's doing the right thing. But he was blinded by his own ambitions and his own sorrow, on a simple level. We in our generation, we're not big enough. As you said, they were tzaddikim. We're not on that level. We're not a Pinchas to be able to get up there and be Kanoim to that level. To chas v'shalom, kill someone without a bez din, because we're human beings and we're going to be nogea bedavar. We're going to have a reason why we think this person should be embarrassed in public. I was in shul. And this guy, he says to someone else in front of the whole shul, Quiet already, I don't understand. They didn't come here to talk the whole shul. Listen, I'm sure the guy's convinced himself he's 1,000,000% right. And I'm not saying he shouldn't have told off the person, but there's a way to do it. You come over afterwards, you say, look, I don't know if you realize we're talking, it was quite noisy, you couldn't hear. Say there. How can the guy embarrass him in front of everybody? Because it's the Shem Shamayim. He's coming to shul and talking. He deserves to be told off in front of everybody. You'll convince yourself you're doing the right thing. You'll convince yourself. It's you get blinded and you convince yourself. And what do? You convince yourself, I'm doing L'Shem Shamayim. I'm sure Korach was convinced he was doing L'Shem Shamayim. So were the Meraglim. You convince yourself I'm doing it for the right reasons. It's for Hashem. We're not on the level of Pinchas. We can be Kanaim, but not to that extent. Not to get up and kill somebody, not to embarrass somebody, which is also a form of killing. In the 3 weeks, what do we have? There's Sinah. How could there be basis? Who hates somebody for no reason? Everyone's convinced they have a very good reason, but if you took a step back, took yourself out of the equation, chances are you'd realize, chinam. There's no really reason to hate. You want to rectify the situation? Understood. Do it the right way. Ask somebody who's outside, what do you think is the best way to react? You're about to react after yourself. If somebody came to me, a friend, and said, I have this situation, would I be reacting the same way? Very possibly not. How do we make sure that we don't have that kinan, tavan, kavod? First and foremost, take yourself out of the equation. Another way to do it? I can't. Rabbi, it's too hard. I can't. If you were getting paid enough, you would find a way. I'll give you an example. Pesach, I was a rabbi on a program. And there were a few guys, they were saying, we need to lose some weight. I said, I also need to lose some weight. I said, you know what will motivate us? If there's a bet. I said, how does the bet work? There's a winner? They said, no, everybody sets a goal, target. If you reach your target, you're good. If you don't hit your target, then you need to pay. I said, all right, how's it going to work? They said, we were talking about the Chazak dinner, the organization I work for, which was in 7 weeks. We said, if 7 weeks, you got to lose whatever you set, a goal, 10 pounds, 12 pounds. And then at the end of the summer, another goal, 10, 12 pounds, whatever it is. If you reach your goal, you're good. And if not, you have to pay. I said, sounds good, I'm in. What do you pay if you don't hit your target? He said, 1,000 pounds. I'm a rabbi, I don't got 1,000 pounds. So you know what? I'm in. Because I know I could do it, and it'll motivate me. See, this jacket didn't close before, Pessy. Yeah. And it got me thinking. Everybody has a price. That if someone said to them, do this, they would do it. Not if Chas v'Shalom someone was challenging your ethics and morals. You couldn't pay me anything in the world to be Mechalel Shabbat. But if someone comes to you and says, I want you to learn Russian. I think Russian, I can't teach an old dog new trick. I'm going to pay you 100 grand. Do it. You find a way. I want you to run the marathon, 26 miles. Are you crazy? I'm going to pay you 300,000.
Still want to.
£1,000,000. You'd find it. There'd be a number that it's worth it for you. Because it's not about the money. If it's important enough, you'd find a way. Someone comes to you, I can't deal with this guy. He comes to shul, he opens the windows, he thinks he's in charge. I'm going crazy from this guy. I can't be Michael. I'm going to pay you £200,000. You'd find a way. You'd find a way to be Michael. You'd find a way to look the other way. And again, I'm speaking to myself here. If you come to me and say, Levi, there's a shiur at 5:30 in the morning, we want you to come to. And I have every excuse in the book. Look, a lot of times I'm preparing classes, I go to sleep late, I do trips, I have a little baby, I go to sleep after 12, they want me to wake up at 5:30, are you crazy? We're going to pay you $100,000 a year. In. I'd find a way, right? Because if it's important enough, if you told me £1,000, I wouldn't do it. That's $100,000.
It's all about money.
My point is, it's not about the money. My point is, if it's important enough to you, you'll find a way. I'm just saying that money is what shows me what's important enough. But if someone's having a fight with the mechutanim, with the kids, with the whoever it might be, I can't forgive them. I can't believe what they did to me. I can't. Take yourself out of the equation. And if you still can't, tell yourself, you know what? If I was getting paid 50 grand, 100 grand, £1,000,000, you'd find a way. So why is that not important enough? Why is it not important enough to you? If it was important enough, you'd find a way. The question is, why isn't it important enough to you? You want to bring the Beis HaMikdash. You want Hashem, our Father, to have a house. All the terrorists will go away. I can't forgive them. It's obviously not important enough, because you could find a way. If it was important enough to you. The money is just an indicator as to what makes it important. And I'll throw out one last idea. How do we make sure that we get rid of the sinner? How do we make sure that we don't let the kavod blind us? Take yourself out of the equation. You try and make sure that it's important enough to you. Use a number, whatever it might be. And if not, do it for yourself. Do it for yourself. I don't remember if I've told this story, but if I have, it's worth repeating. Last year, before Rosh Hashanah, my wife comes to me and she says, "Oh, I was shopping for clothes for the kids." I said, "You found anything?" She says, "Baruch Hashem, I found these two stunning dresses." I said, "Where'd you go?" My wife says, "Dynasty." I said, "Oh no." Baruch Hashem, my wife has very good but very expensive taste. And I said to her, "How much were they?" She says, "You don't understand, the dresses were stunning." I said, "Okay, how much?" She says, "I put them on the girls, they were dancing around the store." I said, "Okay, how much?" She says, "You don't understand, everyone in the store was going crazy how cute they look." I said, "Okay, how much?" She tells me how much. I said, "You spent that much on little girls' dresses they're going to grow out of in 6 weeks." And like a good Sephardi wife, she says, "Oh, I knew I should have fed you dinner first." And then she looks at me and she says, "I had to get the dresses." I said, "What do you mean you had to get the dresses?" She says, "I said to the girls," my daughter Yehudit was 6 years old and Shoshana was 4 years old. She says, "I said to the girls, girls, these are very expensive dresses. We only have enough money for one of them." And each one of them, the little girls, they said, "No, I want it, it's so pretty, I love it." And then my older daughter was only 6 years old. She says, "You know what, mommy? It's okay. I'll be mevater. Just get it for Shoshana." My wife looks at me, she says, "How could I not get it for both?" And I said to her, 100%, I would have done the same thing. She knows how to get me, my wife.
She knows how to get me.
And I thought to myself, is Hashem any different? Is Hashem any different? He sees two people arguing, and both of them are convinced they're right. Convinced they're right. And then one person says, "You know what? Even though I'm right, even though I deserve it just as much as they do, I'll be mevater." Does Hashem not say, "You know what? Now you're going to get rewarded too. Now you're also going to get it. You're also going to get it. All the tzaras that you had, you want this one to have a shidduch, you want this one's business to go well, and you want this one to finally have kids, you want this one to have a refuah. You're being mevater. You're saying, you know what? You can have it even though you feel you deserve it 100%. You say, I'll be mevater, I'll forgive and forget, I'll forego. Hashem says, now you're going to get it too. We have one more minute, I'll throw out one last idea. I saw online there was a Chabad rabbi, I believe it was Rabbi Y.Y. Rubinstein. We might have mentioned this here in the past, I don't remember. He said, we have a lot to learn from little kids. You'll see a little kid, 5 years old, they're in the corner playing with their truck, doing their own thing. Comes this other kid, he grabs the truck, smashes the kid in the head, runs to the other room. This little kid, 5 years old, he's on the floor, he's crying. The next day, 2 days later, are these kids going to play together? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, the kids, they play together. You have adults. This guy was in shul, the other one took his seat, that one opened the window, the neighbor said good morning, he didn't answer. A chutzpah! I'm never speaking to him again the rest of my life. He says, how come by kids, the next day, they play together? Adults, it says in life, you can be happy or you can be right. Adults choose to be right. Kids choose to be happy. How do we get rid of the sinner? Even if we're 100% right, choose to be happy. Choose to be happy. Take yourself out of the equation. and you probably won't be making this decision. And even if you can, ask yourself, if it was important enough to me, I'd find a way. And even if still, do it because you want to be happy in life. Do it because if you do it, and you forgive and you forgo, Hashem says, now you're going to get rewarded too. There's a lot more to say, we run out of time, but Be'ezat Hashem, we'll make sure that we'll do our best to be a Pinchas in the right way. To be a Pinchas and say, I'm going to be the bigger man, I'm going to get up there and do what I know is right. Even if I think that I'm right, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to make shalom, I'm going to make peace, I'm going to go out of my way, I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell my spouse, my kid, my chutan, whoever might be, a business partner, neighbor, I forgive. I'll be mevater. You have it. You take it. I'm sorry. Choose to be happy. And Be'ezat Hashem, our Father will look down. Hashem will say, you're being mevater. You're being the bigger person. Now I'm going to give you what you want. You want Mashiach? Now I can bring it. Thank you very much.